You are listening to the Truth Talk Podcast with Kathy Crabb Hannah. It's a good afternoon here in Nashville, Tennessee, rainy and wet, and my name is Kathy Crabb Hannah, and I'm coming to you actually from my home today. We are in town for a day or so, and I just literally have this on my mind, on my heart, and want to talk about it. So podcasts, I'm told, I'm an old woman without a lot of podcast experience as far as being a listener, but I am told that we can just decide we have a subject matter and we can go talk about it, and that's what I decided to do. So here we are set around the kitchen table, Cameron and I, my granddaughter slash assistant, the smart one in the bunch, and the political grandchild, having a conversation, and we decided to roll tape. So here we go. Let's talk about Disney World.
Yeah.
If you listened to my first episode of Truth Talk, it's an episode called 43 Stitches. That if you haven't listened to it and you want to invest a little time, go listen. But I talk about being attacked in a parking lot by a man at 17. He left me for dead, thought he had killed me. My struggle with mental health, my struggle with just getting through really difficult times. And a big piece of that first year of that story was that I had an older sister that was 14 years older, so very much an adult. I was 17. And a big piece of that story was in my mental health struggle and in my time of having a very conflicted life from the age of really 13 all the way through until today. let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
I did not understand being a child. I was never a child. I had a lot of adult struggles in my life when I was a child, and I learned to operate like an adult. I am all aboard the problem-solving train. If you have a problem, I'll sit down and help you solve it. If you say to me, let's go see a new Avengers movie, I ain't going. Because I don't do crime. I mean, that's not personal. Oh, Cameron, that's your favorite. But I'm not. You would never invite me to that movie, would you?
I would not.
You know I'm not going to waste my time because I don't know how to be a child. That's really what we're talking here. I never knew how to be... I never had the childhood experience. I really didn't. Not to be a victim. I'm not a victim at all. It's just the way my life is. But during the year that I turned, that I was 17 turning 18, my sister said, I want to take you to a new place in Florida. This girl that had lost her father, my father had died when I was 13. My mother was gone. My life was a struggle. I had, like I said, I had someone that tried to kill me. They weren't arrested. I was mad, bitter, angry, all the things that you can be that make you have a real mental health challenge. And I'd been let down by law enforcement, all of that. And she said, I want to take you to this place, and it's called Disney World. It's a new place now. That might age me just a little bit, a couple of years old maybe. I rarely traveled. My family didn't travel. My mother was not much of a nomad. She liked to stay at home. My dad owned airplanes. He loved to travel, but when I was a child, they didn't travel. So this was a big deal for me. This was a defining moment in my life to decide what I guess I would consider to be the most amazing entertainment ever. When we pulled into the Disney complex. Now, this is 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never, I'm from Beaverdam, Kentucky, Hartford, Kentucky, Ohio, you know, that part of Kentucky. Never seen anything in my life. I mean, I've been to Mammoth Cave. It's like, I've been to Gatlinburg.
Which is a great cave.
That was back when Gatlinburg was, you know, 17 shops downtown, almost no hotels. So I'd never been anywhere. I'm just really, really an unhappy 17-year-old with lots of mental health challenges, and we pull onto the Disney property, and my sister has booked these rooms at the Contemporary Resort, and they take our bags in, and I see this monorail coming through the hotel, and I see the castle back in the background. And as dark came upon us and the illumination of the place magically distracted me to a point that I said, is this what it feels like to be a child? And it changed everything about the way I would live my 1 week of vacation or my 2 weeks of whatever my life was at that moment. I would save and earn and poke back money in coffee jars for the next almost 50 years to be able to afford to take my daughters when they were little and then all of the kids when I remarried, all of the grandkids. And I sat here and can tell you that I have spent an embarrassing amount of money. If I told the number, I don't know the number, but if I knew it, I wouldn't probably never be in a position to have enough courage to tell it. Mm-hmm. Because it would be an exorbitant amount of money, because I feel like family moments and family memories matter. When we're through and we're at the end of our journey, certainly what we've done for the kingdom of God is all we can take with us. But beyond that, I wanted to have memories that my children absorbed, mm-hmm. that felt like momentum to build a happy life.
Yeah.
I've taken you all, Cameron, you're my second grandchild, 22 years old. You're not the oldest, you're the second, but I'm 19.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken you to Disney countless times, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yes.
And you all have gone in groups of girls, groups of grandkids, and mm-hmm. I mean, you've gone with some of the boys.
I've gone with some interesting mixes too. I've been your second adult, even as I've gotten older with some of the younger kids.
Right.
Yeah.
So I love Disney more than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
The average person that you're going to pull up beside at a red light, and they might say, oh, I've been once, I've been four times, I've been twice. I would guesstimate that I've been over 100 times.
Yeah.
Maybe even over 130 times. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to know. There are many years during our touring that we would hit it four or five times a year.
Yeah. Just go for a day if you happen to be in Florida.
Right.
That kind
so
of stuff.
So I've done a lot of Disney. We used to have season passes. Because it equated a moment in a child's life,
mm-hmm.
that everything looked so, I mean, just happy. And I felt like I'd had a deprivation of happiness as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted my kids to have, oh, that's going to be a happy time. And I think that a lot of us look forward to trips. It's a marker in our year to say, okay, we're going to work really, really hard. And we're going to give of ourselves a little bit more than maybe the person next to us. And we're going to do extra overtime and we're going to do more. And the sacrifice, though, is going to be worth it, because you're going to go get to see the grandkids' eyes light up, the children's mm-hmm. eyes light up, whatever. That makes me tick. If it doesn't, you may want to go on tune out. But that has always made me tick. So let's establish that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's been instilled of all of us.
Yes.
All the grandkids, all the kids, we love Disney for the same reason.
Yeah. It's been family time.
Yeah.
I used to tell the grandkids that my first boyfriend was Mickey Mouse. I mean, that's not really, really true, but you know, but it's like, I have bought countless Disney shirts. I mean, like I said, the amount of money I've spent, I would be embarrassed of.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I worked hard for it. And if I'm going to give a gift, I would rather give the gift of travel often.
Yeah.
And that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for me to say publicly, I'm not that person. Don't like Hollywood. Never enjoyed the double standard of we want to make movies and kill people gruesomely with blood and guts, but we want you to not have a gun. That standard that was so doubled, not to mention just the moral decay,
mm-hmm.
but I was finished with Hollywood years ago.
Yeah.
So, and I was been very vocal about it,
mm-hmm.
but this has now become that to that level for me. Mm-hmm. As Governor DeSantis has so bravely, come forward and said, you know what, in my state, I will not allow these teachers. First of all, let's just talk about our society. Let's just talk about mm-hmm. that. We mold a society based on suggestion. Mm-hmm. If we were all riding, if we were, say, in, you know, let's say an Asian country and everybody's riding a moped, then the suggestion of you get a moped as you become an adult would be, every child I know would be saying, oh, well, I'm going to get a moped when, you know, I know that's a really odd, but the analogy,
random example, but yes.
But the analogy is the power of suggestion determines so much about how we live our lives. The power of suggestion of a person in Texas, mm-hmm. even a regional suggestion of a person in Texas, mm-hmm. where it might be common to see cows and horses and things on a ranch, versus the power of suggestion to a child in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm talking about the things that they see that are suggested to them just through living, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Those are small regional examples, but then you get to the big example of a governor that says, I said yesterday, a pastor that doesn't have the guts to stand, and yet we have a governor mm-hmm. that says, you know, I believe we have a moral obligation mm-hmm. to disallow the indoctrination of our children at impressionable ages. We were talking about Addie and Ellie being almost 5 and almost 6, and they're in that learning age. I mean, that learning age is where they're sponging.
Yes.
That everything I told Cameron, I taught them to wash their hair last night to put the shampoo on the crown of their head. Guess what they'll do for the rest of their life? Mm-hmm. Because I took a moment and taught them, made it a deal, where to put the shampoo on their hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that sounds really like a small thing.
No, absolutely.
But I said, this is how you do this. They will probably be doing that when they're 45 years old. Because at this moment now, that's the right thing to do. The mm-hmm. suggestion of a grandmother saying, that's where you put your shampoo and you work out from that. That because these little minds are sponges. Mm-hmm. Governor DeSantis is saying, you're not going to do that to Floridians.
Yeah.
My little 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds, you're not going to come in and suggest to a little girl that she might really want to be a little boy, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, as this unfolds and Disney takes this big corporate woke, you know, the most
standpoint,
woke.
Yeah.
And so here we are in the crosshairs of this. I agree with Governor DeSantis 110%. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm very proud of him. As a Christian,
yeah.
Just like bring it, you know. I would to God that pastors, our pastor is an exception, mm-hmm. and many of you have pastors that are an exception, but many of you don't, because mm-hmm. we love Disney.
Yeah.
We are those people, mm-hmm. Christian people, because Disney is supposed to be. They are supposed to be the promoter of innocence.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're the ones that told us about a mouse and his little girlfriend named Minnie and Cinderella and all the things mm-hmm. that feel so innocent that we could put replicas of these stories in the hands of a 15-month-old, a 25-month-old, mm-hmm. a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old. And the stories were so innocent mm-hmm. and they were not manipulative of their minds. Now, this is my take on it.
Yeah.
And maybe there are some, you know, there are those hidden agendas, but I've been around a long time and I don't think they're there.
Yeah.
In the early days of Disney characters.
I yeah.
mean, there are a lot of sidebar issues here. You hear the comments about the trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm sure those are valid concerns, and I'm sure they're all legit in context.
Yeah.
That's not what this conversation is.
Yeah.
Today, my conversation is about the fact that the power of suggestion, the Disney, Bob Chapek, I think I'm saying that right, the CEO, they've changed all the recorded messages in the parks,
mm-hmm.
to completely degender the children. To completely, yes. they don't say boys and girls.
Yeah.
Now they only say dreamers of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
He has publicly stated from the what I'm reading, and I think this is a New York Post press release, that he intends for 50% of the characters going forward to be LGBTQ characters. And I quote a Disney executive. She said, "I have learned from a colleague that the company only had a handful of queer lead characters in its content." They continue. And I realize it is actually true. We don't have enough leads and narratives in which these characters get to be characters. And they have committed to a 50%. I mean, from now on, it's like they're going to take, or so this story says, and it's from the New York Post.
It's New York Post, it's not a conservative.
No, it's from the New York Post. I mean, they're not CNN and they're not the Washington Post, but it's the same, they are actually the same ones that had the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, back and mm-hmm. they were dissed and canceled with Twitter, I think maybe for a while, but let's move on from that. But I do believe this is from a legit conversation where they have the transcript. So here I am, and I hear this story, and I read this, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to pretend I don't know that. Well, I can't. After 30 minutes, after I absorb this for about 30 minutes, I'm like, I can't. We just went to Disney in February. I don't agree with their politics. I don't agree with the politics of anybody that is corporate America. Chick-fil-A. I mean, we could go down the list. Hobby Lobby. You know, there are a few, but corporate America in general is never going to agree with the church.
That's right.
Because they are, they have a completely different agenda than we do. But when you get to the place that you take, so it's almost like you put, it's like we're going to entice your children. And you're going to spend $20,000 a year, or 10, or whatever that number is. If you've got a huge family, it's $20,000 a year if you go on a week-long trip. And you're going to bring your children, and you're going to, and we're literally going to take them, and we're going to indoctrinate, mm-hmm. starting with our characters and our stories. By the time they are able to talk, we are telling you in advance. I have the New York Post story right in front of me. We're telling you in advance, Christian Grandma in Nashville, Tennessee, that I'm going to take your great-grandchildren. The grandchildren are for the most part older and they know better. But I'm going to take now your great-grandchildren and your younger grandchildren and indoctrinate them with questions about who they were born to be, who God created them to be. And we're not going to just say, hey, we're going to give you an alternate message from your Sunday school teacher, but we're going to do it through the characters you love so much, and you sing their songs, and you buy their toys, and you get a McDonald's Happy Meal, and we make you love this character so much. And then all of a sudden, you realize this character is a girl, was born a girl, but she decided to be a boy. And the story tells me that that's what I can choose to do. And by the time they're 4 years old,
they have completely lost the identity that the parents have tried to teach them based on the Word of God.
Yep.
Am I telling this wrong, Cameron?
No.
You're 22. Right. What's your perspective? Yeah.
No, I mean, I totally agree. I saw a tweet that was circulating a while ago. Or, I'm sorry, that was circulating like yesterday or the day before. And it said, I thank God that I was allowed to have a tomboy phase without being put on hormone blockers. Right. And I'm like, that's so, I mean, what little girl didn't have a hormone or didn't have a tomboy phase where they wanted to, you know, instead of play with Barbie dolls, wanted to go play sports outside or whatever. I'm glad that my parents didn't look at me and they were like, you know, what if you're not a little, what if you're not supposed to be a little girl? Right. Do you want to be a little boy? Because I'm like, there were times that I probably would have been like, sure, I never want to wear a dress again. That sounds great.
do we not have such a gap mm-hmm. in our society of just good old fashioned common sense?
Yes.
Your mother, my oldest, mm-hmm. Cameron's mother, my oldest daughter, Crystal, lived in a mud hole. Literally, mm-hmm. when she was a child, from the time she could walk until she was probably 10 years old. On a day like today, she'd be out finding the mud. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to wear overalls, and she wanted to wear her hair short. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
She had all the markings of a tomboy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was perfectly fine.
Yes.
But guess what? She's a woman.
Yep.
She's a full-grown, 40-something-year-old woman that realizes that there's not a masculine thing about her.
Yeah.
She was a child that enjoyed outdoor
playing. And the same is true for, you know, a little boy that, when he's playing with his friends, if he happens to grab a baby doll instead of a truck that day, that doesn't mean that he wants to be a mom one day. That doesn't mean that he's effeminate. It means he wants to play with the doll, or bake the cake, play with the easy bake oven, or play with the, you know, traditional, more female toys or whatever. Or if he's playing with his little sister with the Barbies or whatever, that doesn't mean he wants to be a girl.
There are lots of men that bake that are very messy.
Yes.
So it's almost like we have become the society we're in. Everybody's so woke that they have tried to overthink mm-hmm. raising these children.
Well, and what's interesting is the very same stereotypes that they're trying so hard to shove it to. The, you know, the women shouldn't have to be at home and men shouldn't have to be the, you know, if men want to be the stay-at-home parent, they can't. Well, all these stereotypes that they are so against of traditional, you know, gender roles are the same things that they're using to gauge having those conversations with children.
It's
really interesting that that's the same thing that they're using as the measurement of, ooh, they might be gay, or ooh, they might be transgender, or ooh, they might be whatever other options there are now these days.
He likes baby dolls, so maybe we should prevent his...
Whereas if it was a little girl grabbing the baby doll, they would grab it out of its hand and give her something boyish because they don't want her to fall into gender norms.
Right.
They want her to be... It's just really interesting.
Well, it's...
The double standard there.
It is, and I know this episode will probably get flagged. It may literally be the last podcast I ever do. And I had to just make a decision. Do I care? And the answer is absolutely no. It is a spirit.
Yes.
It is a spirit of rebellion against nature itself. Mm-hmm. And the word says that the enemy is roaming to and fro. Mm-hmm. And he is seeking to devour every single person. Listen, and this is going to get a little spiritual, so if this is not your thing, just hang with me. But the enemy knows that he's not going to change my mind. Mm-hmm. I know what I know. I'm an old woman. I'm very set and situated in mm-hmm. what I believe. I'm not going to be swayed on much of anything. Mm-hmm. You might change my mind on a recipe for a coconut cake if yours is much better than mine. Mm-hmm. You might change my mind on the color I should paint a house. Mm-hmm. But you are not going to change my mind on what I believe the Word of God plainly speaks about what we instill in our children. Mm-hmm. Not going to change my mind? You're just not. It's not going to happen. But guess what? The energy is not spent on me.
Yeah.
The energy is spent on Addie. and Ellie.
Young minds.
And Etta. And how will we get a young mind if we don't go through the portal of the message to the young mind? If the devil can take this generation, the generation that is 15 to 30 was an age, they've been whammied.
Yeah.
We've had the dissension of prejudice or the over complication of trying to overcorrect race struggles and all of that horribly handled without love at times and oftentimes overreach and overcorrection, and then we have an entire voting block of people that are a voting block to the government, and that's a whole nother day. I'm not going to have that conversation today, but my point is those struggles were real, and they have definitely put a footprint on all of this. A handprint, a footprint, a thumbprint, all of that. The society, there's been some real bruises on society from that 15-year-old all the way up to 30. And of course there's things for the 30 to 50 generation, not a today subject. But for that 15 and under crowd, this is the devil's agenda. This is it, period. The Governor DeSantis Disney fight, that is almost choose this day who you will serve agenda for the very soul of our children. That's my opinion. If we go in, and if I were to elaborate, if we go into that next generation, the battles that we fought and really didn't win, there's abortion, and we go on down through all of the things that the devil has come at development age children with.
Yes.
You know, the lies.
Different indoctrinations for each. And then
each season.
You know, the things that were indoctrinated to you when you were little, by the time it got to, say, my mom's generation, it was just, that was just what was common.
It was normal.
It was no longer indoctrination. That was just fact.
Yeah.
And then the things that my mom's generation was indoctrinated with by the time I was going to school, just fact.
Well,
it's not indoctrination anymore. That's just the norm.
I remember Roe versus Wade. I mean, I was on the brink. I was in 74. It was the year I went to Disney. So that's the year of Roe v. Wade.
Big year.
Yeah, big year. So, you know, and I remember thinking, I was a teenager and probably not terribly political and probably not very indoctrinated.
Well, if that was in 1974, that was the same year that you were also pregnant with a baby that you didn't know how the turnout was going to be. So you should have been somebody that would have been intrigued by the idea. If you were carrying a baby that you had been told was going to have a bunch of complications.
Right. And I remember thinking, how can the Supreme Court override the hand of God on what's sin and what's not? And the message was being peddled to my age group. Oh, it's not, it's the law. Yeah. Oh, no, this is not wrong anymore. You know, oh, the law was, forget, it was almost like, oh, that's your Sunday school teacher's silliness. But the law now says, so you can suppress all of that indoctrination from the church because the law of the land is this. So that was our struggle. But anyway, on to this generation. I think, and I will say, I posted about this on Facebook this past week, and my post was shared to some Facebook pages that are just full of vile, ugly haters. And I had over 500 nasty comments in about just in a few minutes. Had to disengage the comments. Horrible comments. Horrible messages. Horrible private messages. People telling me they wish I was dead. I mean, so the tolerance. Here's bottom line. I don't want a teacher. I want a teacher to teach my children to do math.
Yeah.
My grandchildren to do math. I want them to teach them to speak and read the English language. Mm-hmm. I want them to teach them what continents we live on, and I want them to teach them geography and history. I want them to know about Abraham Lincoln. I do not want them to indoctrinate the normalcy of abnormal. Mm-hmm. Period. I don't think that is, I don't think there's even a question there. Now, the whole, so let's talk about the haters. If you're a hater and you want to hurt me, don't even try it. Mm-hmm. Don't even try it. I will sue you in a New York minute, and I will also tell God on you. So you've got two problems if you come at me. Secondly, when we think about the church, and I heard it said this week, oh, so you're going to eat at, you know, Longhorn, and they serve alcohol, but you can't go to Disney. Well, here are the facts. You're not going to eat anywhere they don't serve alcohol.
But yeah, if they serve at Cracker Barrel these days.
Right. If I ever walk in a Longhorn, and the coloring book or something in a restaurant, first of all, we're not going to Longhorn and taking our children to be fed their flavor of entertainment.
You're not going there to teach your kids what to eat or how to eat.
No.
Or, yeah.
And Disney is in the... Disney has been... They have projected that they are in the children's entertainment business.
Yes.
They have projected that they are a safe place... A family-oriented place where you can sell dreams and innocence, mm-hmm. and allow your child to enjoy the imagination that they have locked up inside of them. And it's a safe place. You cannot sell sex, even the indication of sex, and innocence at the same time. There's no way to do that. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. So they no longer deserve, if you believe that it is wrong to suggest that sexual orientation is a choice at 3 years old, just listen to me, the listener. If you think it's wrong to suggest to your 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old child that their sexual orientation is a choice, then you have absolutely no right spending your money taking them to Disney World.
That's right.
It's one or the other. It is one. And I'm not trying to make enemies. I feel like that a lot of people are so convicted when somebody gets onto this because they are going to Disney World this year.
Yeah.
I just went in February. I struggled with it a little bit, but when this Bob Chapik comes out and says, oh, yeah, no, you're not reading in between the lines. Yeah, I know we're a little woke, and yeah, we've had all of these specific interest groups that have taken great delight because the devil loves an imagination, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
There are so many people that are stewards of the devil that love the bright colors and the lights and the flash. And, you know, there's always somebody mimicking the good things of God.
Yep. It's a distraction.
But when the CEO of Disney basically says straight up, yes, that is our agenda. No, you're not reading between the lines. That's our intent. We plan to offer a 50% ratio for the indoctrination of your 2, 3, 4-year-old's mind that they could and should probably question their own sexuality. That's all it is. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. I can't do it.
No. Yeah, I agree.
I can't do it. I have to be done. I have to be done. I'm sad about it. Mm-hmm. I think you're sad about it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's, I've seen some similar posts that you're talking about. I've seen a couple posts where people have gone on Facebook or whatever, and they're like, well, I still shop at all these, you better grow your own fruits and veggies, and you better do this, this, and that if you're not going to support Disney because of this decision because of all these other companies that believe similar things or that believe, you know, these other things that you're against. I understand where that mindset's coming from. I do. You have to realize it's impossible. In the world that we live in, you would genuinely have to go live with, like, the Amish people mm-hmm. to be away from any,
which is a thought.
Any of that. Which, honestly, may not be a bad thing in the world we live in. But you cannot tell me, you cannot argue with me and say that there's not a difference between going to a store where they disagree with you on the process of becoming a legal immigrant and the process or what taxation looks like. And, you know, all of these other issues. You can't tell me that buying a few groceries from that store is the same as spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on a Disney trip or with corporate Disney when they are trying to indoctrinate your children. They're trying to indoctrinate certain ideas into your children that completely go against not only what you believe, what the Bible says, and what's natural. Those are not the same. They are not the same.
Well, here's the thing. As I said, there's no way that I'm going to change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm a full-blown adult. And we're not talking about, I mean, I could have the conversation about all of these political aspects of the Target conversation. And we mm-hmm. can go on at Starbucks. I get all that. And do I love to shop at Target? Not really. Mm-hmm. Really hate to spend my money there. Not going to say I never did, never will, but I'm just telling you, they're not my favorite company.
Yeah.
Starbucks, not my favorite company. Much rather give Chick-fil-A my money, mm-hmm. you know, if I have a choice. But if I were to see Target decide to be in the child entertainment business, and they say, we're going to confuse your three-year-old, I would have to take the same exact... This Absolutely. Is not about you and you being righteous and holy and godly and
yes.
and super spiritual and religious. This is not about that. Mm-hmm. This is about the future of your child.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to sit back there and say, well, we teach our children at home.
It's not enough.
Okay. All right.
And two,
good luck with that.
Yes. To that degree, this might be a little bit of a side note, but with all of this, you not playing it at home is not enough. You having these discussions at home is not enough if your child goes to school.
Right.
You have to be, if you don't have, I've always been team, if you can, homeschool or private school. We're so lucky that Restoring Hope has a Christian school here because we know what goes on there. But if that's not around you, advocate to home. I always say, you know, you should homeschool if you can. That's not possible for everybody.
No.
That is just not possible for everybody. Make sure you know what's being shown. Are they showing Disney movies in the classroom? Are they showing, you know, what are they teaching your kids at school? Go to school board meetings. Go be involved. Because you having discussions at home is not enough.
No.
It's not enough.
And I'm not the radical. Mm-hmm. I know it feels that way maybe today if you're listening to this podcast. I'm really not. I don't live my life like that. I don't say, you know, you have to look a certain way for Jesus to love you. We just don't do that.
No.
Listen, I have gay friends. Mm-hmm. Do I agree with the lifestyle? Of course not. But I love people. Mm-hmm. We have to be in the people business.
Yeah.
People are not going to rub off on me and make me dirty, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And they're probably saying that she ain't going to rub off on me and make me dirty because I have sin. Mm-hmm. I have sin in my life.
Everybody
has sin. And I am not, this is not a pile on mm-hmm. an adult gay couple. I would not choose that lifestyle. I don't think it lines up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But this is not a pile on gay people conversation.
It's the indoctrination of
a child.
Of a child. Yeah.
It is there is a lack of common sense mm-hmm. for anybody to make the decision to circumvent nature. So, as Cameron, you said it earlier, to circumvent this woke society, mm-hmm. they want so badly to prove how woke they are. Mm-hmm. It's such overreach. To try to say, oh, he likes to play with his sister's doll.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to block the hormones. I mean, mm-hmm. this little boy is really a girl.
Yeah.
That is, there's the problem. We've got some crazies, and they have been the loudest, squeakiest wheel
yes.
to the Disney people.
Yes.
There are, I'm sure there are many of those people that have infiltrated. Those are the kind of, I mean, as I said, artistic and those creative people. It seems that there's always a crowd that has a little higher percentage of alternative lifestyle people in the arts.
Free spaces.
Don't we know that? But I will tell you, this is not that. This is not a pile on the people that just want to go live their lives. It's not. It's just not. I'm just telling you. You can challenge me on that. We will talk. I am not piling on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my job.
Yeah.
That is not my job.
Mm-hmm. They're an adult.
They're grown adults. They live in the manner in which they choose. If you're not disturbing my household and you're not hurting one of my children with your choices,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing it in an up and up way, it's on you.
Yeah.
We don't get to
go home. From a political standpoint, absolutely.
We don't get to go home with people.
Yes.
We do not get to go home with people. I am not your God. I am not your judge. And I certainly ain't your jury.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I know? You've got the word of God sitting on every coffee table in your house. So you live your life. I pray that you live it correctly, because I really hope to spend eternity with you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this is. This is not about that. This is about the woke, crazy crowd that is trying to force feed a company to make a decision that has built this humongous billions upon billions upon billions of wealth in the entertainment business, claiming to have the innocence thing factored in and covered. It's like, oh, switching bait.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be selling this now.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to go, oh, sure.
Okay.
I would have to say as we end this conversation, that if I had never attended church in my life,
mm-hmm.
that if I was an agnostic, or even an atheist, I would have to say that I believe I would feel the very same way.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I would be appalled that they want to twist and turn a society and try to redirect it
mm-hmm.
into what I would consider to be a zone of insanity.
Yes.
Insanity. Promoting circumstances where the population can't have the normalcy of reproduction. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I could go on for days. There's something that's just on the verge of insanity that's attached to this.
And something that I want to clarify here is we are not saying that the government needs to step in and say, you're not allowed to do that. Because we live in a free country.
Right.
Disney is a private company.
Right.
They are most definitely a monopoly.
Yes.
But they are a private company. And I don't think the government should have the right to go in and say, ooh, you make entertainment. Let me start controlling what entertainment can be made. But what I am saying is we have power as consumers,
mm-hmm.
as shareholders, as people that vacation there, as people that give money to them, to say, hey, we're not supporting you if you're making this decision. You're going to lose, you know, stockholders, you're going to lose people. You're going to lose people that have season passes. You're going to lose people that have taken their family there for 50 years.
Well, if nobody stood and heard the message of this, if nobody but the church, but that percentage, that remnant of people
mm-hmm.
that say, you know what, we are churched people, we believe the word of God, we do believe that our 5-year-old little boy is going to be an adult male someday. Just those people, if they literally said, we're not doing this anymore, they would have to change it.
Would lose so much money.
There would be no choice.
Yeah.
I mean, if we crunched those numbers,
and
we didn't, but we could.
Yeah.
If we crunched just those numbers, it would literally change everything.
Absolutely.
Some of the vileness that I got last week was, I mean, like I said, hundreds.
Yeah.
But many of them, well, you inbred country crazy people good, don't ever come back. We want Disney to be a place for the unusual. We want to have the little transgendered four-year-old there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their fairy tale world.
Yeah.
Boy, that's not your typical Disney goer. Sorry.
Yeah.
You all can come at me again if you'd like, but that is not that. If those are the only people that buy Disney tickets, mm-hmm. they're done.
Yeah. I do want to say two things real quick. So I just wanted to clarify that we are saying as a consumer, as consumers, we hold the power mm-hmm. because we are blessed to live in this capitalistic society where the consumer controls mm-hmm. that we control the supply and the demand and all those things. So we have the power to say, we're not spending our money at you till you start support, till you not even necessarily start making Christian movies, but maybe just don't make movies that go against what's natural. Mm-hmm. We are not, I can honestly say, I don't think Disney will ever come out with a movie that's Christian based.
No.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. But maybe they could do some that don't go directly against what's biblical and again what's natural.
Not even from
a Christian standpoint, from a just regular what used to be common knowledge up until about 10 years ago.
While you're talking about movies, let's just throw this in. I have been dead set on rarely. I mean, it's got to be a movie that I feel like has a root, there's a root in it that's a Christian root. Somebody in it that I know is trying to promote a really great life story where there's principle to it. Very, very rare. I probably go to one movie every 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. And that's accurate.
It's very selective. So I begin to pray against the double standard in Hollywood and just say, God, just let the people speak. Mm-hmm. Let the dollars speak. And, you know, I don't know how much back in like 2018, Hollywood was on such a slide. And a lot of that was that double standard. Just that whole, you know, rules for me and then there's rules for thee.
Yeah.
You go live, you know, I'm going to be up here making a comment about gun control while I'm winning an Oscar, but there are 9 people appointed to bodyguard me right here, all with guns in their pockets. Mm-hmm. So because I don't have the ability to afford 9 bodyguards, I don't get to have a gun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you're rich and you're famous, so you can talk about our, you know, climate control, but you're going to fly private jet and you're going to have 9 bodyguards.
Yeah.
But I'm not rich and I'm not famous, so you want me to drive maybe nothing, electric car.
Or a bike.
And I'm not allowed to have a gun. So I think the American people in general are so fed up with the double standard mm-hmm. of the woke crowd.
Yeah.
Period.
No, absolutely.
And now, let me say, and as this relates to Disney, if Disney did not have a piece of our heart, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah. That's right.
The difference in Disney and all the other...
That's why we're almost pleading with you to please stand with us so that there could be change. Yeah.
There could be change. We would love to see them walk this back.
Yeah.
And say, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe the demographic of the Disney goer disagrees with the stance and we get Mickey back, right? Yeah. That's what we hope for.
And we have to show them that. You made a comment earlier about what their clientele looks like now, and it really has changed. I made a comment to my mom and maybe a couple of other people after we went in February. There were a lot of people there without kids. There were a lot of just adults there, a lot of older couples, mm-hmm. not a lot of kidless people. And I thought that was so interesting because Disney has always been marketed for children. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of the reason why they're choosing to make these decisions and stuff is to appease this latest generation of, ooh, kids are an inconvenience for me. I'm going to have 4 abortions and just be, you know, the woman that I want to be. And, you know, oh, that's selfish to have kids in this world. So I'm going to, you know, whatever. That's a whole separate issue. That could be a separate podcast, the attack of a family. But it's those same people that are still going to Disney because they were little when they first started going, except they don't have kids now. So like, they're all up and involved in how everything's being run because it's this loud group of, I call them Disney loud. Adults. Right. Yes.
They're loud.
And they don't have kids that they're trying to protect. Right. It's about what they want.
Right.
Really interesting.
They don't have kids they're trying to protect. You are so right. I mean, certainly there are exceptions to every.
Yes, of course. But I just noticed that there was just an influx of that.
You're so right.
And again, I love Disney. I would go with just my husband. But I just noticed it was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. So as we, in my mind, Cameron, there is a parallel between Hollywood 2017 when it just, when I think that we kind of got like, okay, mm-hmm. Trump had been elected. There was some sort of a pulpit now to say to Hollywood, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. We're not buying what you're selling.
Someone had a soapbox. Yeah.
So we had, all of a sudden, we realized that there are people that can get in a majority and make a statement politically. And those same people are like, okay, we just spoke to Washington.
Yeah.
So now we're going to speak to, I'm just saying, this is my opinion. This is not necessarily research data. This is my opinion of being an observer of the news and being a very, very much a reader of, just current events. But the tide felt like to me it changed about the same time Trump was elected as it related to Hollywood making money.
Yes.
I'm talking about money still. The same thing you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The power of the pocketbook.
Power of the consumer, yes.
I got a quote a minute ago from a gentleman named Barry Diller who was the head of the Fox studio and the Paramount studio, the movie studios. And he said in 2018, movies are dead. And there were more reasons than the crowd that said we can collectively get together and bring our values. We had felt like we were just the silenced. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to be the majority. 70-something% of America claims to have faith and claims Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's, we're the majority, but yet nobody could collectively find a voice. Mm-hmm. And then we elected Trump, and we're not going to get into what happened the next election because that's another whole flagging thing, I'm sure. But we realized we had a voice. So I feel like that same group of people that went like, well, that went well.
Yeah.
On election night 2016. Well, that went really well. Okay. We are going to boycott Hollywood, and we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how that goes against our principles to put all of these dollars into the pockets of these people that say rules for me and then other rules for thee. I mean, not even the moral principle of the movie as it relates to sex or graphic violence, but just the double standard.
Yes.
The double standard. So it felt to me like that the movie business went in complete decline, and then the pandemic came and they never recovered.
Yeah.
Now, I will say there have been some faith-based movies over the years that have actually been a better return on investment.
Yeah.
If you're just a movie and if you're the person that says, you know, what I do professionally is I invest in movies. There are those people. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know them probably. But there are those people that they are investors. And I read an article recently that said the return on investment on many of these Christian movies far outweigh the return on investment of a secular movie. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the larger point here is it's the power of the dollar.
Yeah.
If the secular movie is not returning the investment, it doesn't mean that it got viewed less times. It just meant it took more money to make it for the return.
Yes.
So the power of the consumer as it relates to this Disney thing is still unseen. Mm-hmm. We could still speak in such volumes.
Yes.
And such volumes in a short window. If the Disney crowd was off 30% come June 1, the quarter that's you know, the second quarter of 2022, if the volume was off 30%, they got to back up.
Absolutely.
There is absolutely no choice but back up and reassess.
And I think it's something I was thinking about too, is it's really important that it's not just, say, your generation that's choosing to make that choice, because you guys don't go to just Disney on your own anyway.
Right.
You know, if you're going to Disney, if people your age are going to Disney, they might be taking a grandkid or they might be whatever, but they're not the ones that are, that continue to buy a bunch of Disney toys. They're not the ones that are going out of their way to give Disney money. You guys have got to make sure that, you know, if you are in that older generation, that you're telling your kids, you're telling your grandkids, because that's who their target is right now. I mean, I, like she said earlier, I love Marvel. Marvel's owned by Disney. I see every Marvel movie in theaters. I know they're awful. I know I don't support them, but I love them. That's hard for me to give up. It's hard for me to give up Disney World. People in our age group have got to be willing to make the same decision, because we're old enough now. We've grown up with it. We're old enough to keep supporting it on our own, whether or not our parents and grandparents do. So it's really important that you make sure you have these discussions with people in that age group in your life, so that it's a joint movement and not just, oh, well, we lost some older people.
And let me clarify as you say that. This conversation we're having, from my perspective, though, is not us dissecting every single movie.
Yes.
And saying, oh, was there a witch in the background? Was there a hidden agenda?
Yes.
I'm not doing that. I don't watch kids' movies. That's not what I'm doing. And maybe there's a place for that. Maybe there's not. If you want to do that and do a podcast on it, to anybody that's listening, go for it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's something I know nothing of.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing. I mean, back in the Harry Potter days, there were, you know, Harry Potter haters that said the church shouldn't allow the church. I don't know. It was not in my wheelhouse. I did not have a child in the age group to care about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
My children were grown. It did not land on my doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
What has landed on my doorstep is the fact that I spend tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say every year, but we're living in a very inflationary economy.
Mm-hmm.
And a room in or around Disney World is hundreds of dollars a night. A ticket into the park, I want to think, is close to $200 a day.
It's very expensive.
These are expensive trips.
Yes.
These are my year savings kinds of trips. I have saved money at times the entire year.
Just to go.
To take my family. Yeah. I mean, at times the entire year.
Oh, it's very expensive.
I remember using a bonus check and taking all my kids, like in 92 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it was every dime I could muster. But I wanted them to go. I wanted them to be children. I wanted to see their eyes when they saw the castle. That's what I do. What I'm saying to you is that the decision makers for Disney World have decided to feed this horrible message to your very young children.
Yes.
It is not a rumor. It is not I think their politics are white. They give to the Democrat platform. They don't give to the Republican. It's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They have decided to send a message to redirect society to toddlers.
Yeah.
That's over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Absolutely.
There are many, many things that are valid that we probably all have to kind of swallow at times and say, I don't like this, but what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the world, not of the world. I heard that quote a million times this week. Of course we're in the world and not of the world. And I'm, as I said earlier, if I go have dinner and I'm seated at a table with four gay couples, they're not going to convince me to go be a lesbian. Mm-hmm. They're just not.
Yep.
And they're not going to get me messy, and I'm not going to get them messy.
Mm-hmm.
And I could love them. I could give them my perspective on the Word of God if they want it.
Yeah.
And literally stand on it, and we would leave disagreeing, and we would leave friends.
Yep.
I can promise you that. We would leave as friends and probably exchange phone numbers. If I were seated on a cruise ship where they seat you in those weird, awkward dinner combinations with all homosexual couples, I would guarantee you I would leave that cruise with those people on my friends list, and we would exchange phone numbers, mm-hmm. and I would probably do anything in the world to help them for the rest of my days.
Yep.
Because my decision to be a friend to somebody is not rooted in their sexual orientation.
Yes. Well, and two, it's, you know, if you were walking down the street and there was a sexual assault happening across the street, well, I'm not of the world. I'm not of the world.
Right.
So I'm not gonna. No, you would go help the person that was being taken advantage of. That's the exact same thing that's happening to these kids. They are being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
They're being assaulted. So we, as Christians,
yeah.
We are called to be a voice for the voiceless. Last time I checked, a 2-year-old can't write a letter to the CEO of Disney and say, hey, I don't really love the indoctrination that you're doing to me.
Well, a 2-year-old is a sponge. They're just going to literally be...
So that's not a valid argument.
Okay.
Take it.
So America has given over the college student. We've given that over. We've been shamed, rebuked, mm-hmm. Outshouted, outgiven, and we've lost our hold on universities.
Yeah.
I mean... They're going to indoctrinate.
Yeah.
So now, and that's not enough. So now they have crept all the way down into the toddler.
Yeah.
So that's what this podcast is about. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I would encourage you consider what I've said, consider what Cameron has said. If you're a church person and you have a Disney trip planned, I'm not going to shame you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to post about you. I'm not going to comment on your pictures. And you don't comment on mine. I have more albums in my Facebook and my Instagram of Disney trips than any one thing probably in there. Hey, this is not about conflict. Mm-hmm. This is about our babies.
Yep. And it's just a reminder that we hold the power.
It's not a talk.
At this moment in life, we are still a capital... We are still a capitalist society at this moment.
And what happens is we literally embrace, mm-hmm. and there are times when silence is sin. There are times.
Yeah.
This feels like one of those times. I'm tired. I'm busy. I've got many, many irons in the fire. And do I take on... given an opinion on something that might change the minds of 50,000 people, 10,000 people,
yeah,
500 people. I don't know. Do I take the hate? Do I take the nasty messages,
yep.
the nasty text messages, the people putting me... Listen, they put me in these loops with pornography that comes to my cell phone.
It's
I mean,
awful.
I get it all because of the hate that I get for having an opinion.
Yeah.
I get it all. And the human side of me says, just live your life and don't have an opinion. But you know what? God didn't call me. Mm-hmm. God did not call me to sit in a corner.
Yeah.
I'm 66 years old. I may live another 5 years. I may live another 50 years. Mm-hmm. Probably won't live 50. But my point is, until he calls me home, there's nothing in me that can sit back and allow the misuse of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And for a child, just think about the indoctrination and the confusion and the ruined lives that are being started on the journey from this decision.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hundreds of thousands. And on that, we're going to be done. It is something I'd like for you to pray about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like, and let me say this, Dollywood, I'm not here to promote Dollywood, and somebody made a nasty comment about Dolly yesterday and said, well, she's this or that. You know what? Dollywood is not going to promote an agenda to your children
that's
going to harm them. That I can tell you.
Yep.
The Ark, little comment about that being, oh, it's a podunk hillbilly place. Okay. If you're a Christian.
Maybe we're podunk hillbilly people.
Right. If you're a Christian. It's a wonderful place to visit. Go take your children there. Spend your money there.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Dollar City in Branson. Mm-hmm. Another very well...
There are other options.
Establishment. Yeah. That,
and again, not saying it has to be a Christian establishment. Maybe just that's not indoctrinating your kids.
Not a CEO that says, hey,
yeah.
just so you know, the journey has started that we're going to indoctrinate your toddlers.
Yeah.
They have said that very publicly. Very publicly.
Yeah.
I'm in. For me, the jury is in.
Yeah.
I can no longer do it.
Yeah.
You all be blessed today. I hope the hate is minimal and I hope the prayer is maximum. And you all be blessed in Jesus' name.